Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to the City Council meeting for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, January the 6th, 2015. I currently have 7:03 p.m. I'd like to call our meeting to order. Tonight's invocation is going to be given by Councilmember Zapala, who is not in his chair. So I'm going to call an audible and ask Mr. Crawley to give us an opening prayer. And then our pledge will be led by one of our scouts, Brandon Fromm.
Dear Father in Heaven, we're thankful that we can gather together today as a city council and mayor and staff and visitors, and that we can discuss the business of the city. And we ask a blessing that we can be guided by thee in our decisions that we make, and that we will be respectful, and that we'll make correct decisions and good decisions for our city. And we're thankful for our many blessings. We're thankful for our freedom in this country, and for the blessings that we have. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I do remember now Mr. Zapala said he had to run out to a meeting and will probably be back. So, Brandon, if you'd like to come up and lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate you and all of our scouts and leaders being with us tonight. We enjoy it when we have lots of participation from the city, and our scouts are always welcome. So, next item is approval of the meeting's agenda.
Are we approving the agenda, you said?
What's that?
You're asking for approval?
I am.
I move that we amend the agenda to table item number 16 until we receive legal review on a question.
I would actually like to keep that on the agenda and table it during the item, because there may be some comments that others want to make during that time.
I'm sure there are. Okay. So are you wanting – so she made a motion. Is there a second on that motion?
I'll second that
motion. Motion's been seconded, and so we'll have a vote on that. So, Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Mr. Crawley.
Nay.
Mr. Augustus.
Nay.
I cast the vote and when there's a tie, so I will vote yay, and we'll table that and move it to our next meeting. So, next item is an amendment, public comments. And so, time's been set aside each meeting for public comments. I don't see that anyone signed up for public comments tonight to discuss anything, and so we will end that part of the meeting and move on to public hearing. And so the amendments to the fiscal year 2015 budget is on the agenda as a public hearing. Did anyone come to speak about the budget? No? Okay, we'll close that. And then also another public hearing on the approval of the dispatch building agreement with the Utah Valley Dispatch Special Service District. Did anyone come to speak on that? No? Okay. Then we will move on to our next item, which is a Government Finance Officers Association Distinguished Budget Presentation Award. So, Mr. Bunker, who's going to be presenting on that?
That is a good question.
Okay.
I don't know if Charles brought the... Do you have the... we don't have the medallion with us, but let me just go ahead and give you a summary. So every year, the finance department prepares the budget for the city, and we submit that to the GFOA, the Governmental Finance Officers Association, for a review. And they take our budget and they look at that, and based on the information that's presented in that budget, they have criteria that they evaluate, and then they make awards to certain entities that meet their level of criteria. We have received the GFOA Distinguished Budget Award, Charles, if you can help me remember, how many years now?
It's around 10.
around 10 years. Jenny, you might have that in your press release.
I can pull it up if you want me to, yes.
So I think it's commendable that the finance department continues to prepare their budget in such a way that they would receive this award year after year. And so we just want to congratulate the finance department for their hard work in doing that year after year.
This is the 13th year.
13th year. That's an amazing accomplishment. Not very many communities do that. So thank you to the finance department for that. Thank you.
I'd just like to echo that as well, Cheryl. You and the finance department do a wonderful job for us, so we appreciate the time and effort. And I know you're going to be presenting to us later this evening. So in our consent agenda, looks like we have minutes from the December 11th, 2014 special city council meeting that need to be approved, and then we'll appoint members to the planning commission.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. And so, on the appointment of members to the Planning Commission, for some reason, I don't have that on my agenda, the names. Mr. Bunker, do you have a list of the names?
Yeah, those will
be... Can you read those for the audience?
Yep, I will.
The Planning Commission will have the following members: Glenn Dodge, Donald Steele, Craig Clement, David Driggs, Bradley Weber. As an alternate, Jeff Dodge. As another alternate, John Dredge. And as another alternate, Lorianne Spear. Those are the members and the alternates of the Planning Commission.
Okay. So I'd like to extend that appointment to the Planning Commission. I think we need a motion to approve that.
It's part of the consent agenda.
We're okay. Any council members want to say anything about those that are being appointed to the Planning Commission at time? I know Mrs. Spear is here.
Yeah, I'll actually make a quick comment. Serving on the Planning Commission, I don't know if my microphone's working, so I'll just talk really loud. I served on the Planning Commission before I came onto the City Council, and a lot of the scouts here may not know, but our Planning Commission actually sees a lot of the information that comes to the City Council prior to it coming to the City Council, and we rely on their recommendations heavily to pass ordinances and different laws that go throughout the city. So I just wanted to say thanks to the Planning Commission. They put in a lot of work. They probably don't get the recognition or the notoriety that they deserve, but they do put in a lot of time on our behalf, and they do a great service for our city.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else have anything to say about Planning Commission? If not, we extend our thank you to those that are here, those that are not here, and look forward to their good work in the next year.
Thank you.
City reports and business. We'll start with Mr. Bunker to my left and then go to the right.
Okay. Our Timpanogos Special Service District Board meeting was actually canceled in December, so we won't be meeting until later this month. I did want to point out that there is a Local Officials Day at the state legislature, and so that will be held on January 28th. Anyone who is interested in that, if we have council members who are interested, we can have Mike at the front desk help sign you up for that, and I can give you more information if you would like that as well. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Geddes.
There was nothing since the last meeting.
Okay.
So,
Mrs. Reese.
The Family Festival Committee Chair just wanted me to remind Council that the dates for the 2015 Family Festival are June 1st through the 6th, and that is on the city's website now as well. We have a new carnival company that we're working with this year, and so they're really excited for some new rides. And also they're exploring some new items this year, such as a teen night and a car show, and then I will be sending out a press release for the budget award that was received by the Finance Department.
Okay. It has been a long time since we've met because of the Christmas holidays, and I don't have anything to add at this evening. Mr. Crawley?
I'll just say that I enjoyed serving on the Parks and Trails Committee, and we had a fun activity finalizing that for the year, and that was with the here in the city building for Christmas with Santa Claus and kids and activities, and had a really good time, and I just appreciated serving on that committee and enjoyed that event.
Thank you. Mr. Augustus?
The North Point Solid Waste had a meeting the same night as our Santa party here at the city, so obviously I was here and not there. But they did approve next year's budget. I haven't got a copy of the finalized one yet, but I will try to pass that along when I get it.
Okay.
That's it.
Very good. Thank you. Moving on now to our scheduled items. We've got an action item on the budget amendments. So, Charles, if you'd like to come and present.
Okay, we have a lot of new people here, so I guess I can go over these again in detail. First item I'd like to discuss is this event center right here. Our rentals so far are $50,000 ahead of what was budgeted at this point in the year, and so we are... and also $43,000 ahead of what we performed last year. So we're proposing that we adjust the employee that's been working over events and provide them with some benefits, medical and dental benefits, and also increase the revenue by 26. We feel like the revenue is going to be much higher than that for the year, but we're being conservative. This 26 will not only cover this employee, but new chairs for outside type events, so we don't have to use our indoor chairs. Also, with all the events we've been having, we need more money for linens. She is also going to be taking over more responsibilities relating to maintaining the website and doing blogs and such. Some other items that the event center is going to cover is summer concerts in the park. We needed to use some equipment for the concerts instead of our own, because our own wasn't working. So a $350 adjustment there. We also had a budget adjustment for animal control. We have a control for, and it was $750 more this year than the prior year. And a budget adjustment for golf maintenance equipment. And so I'd like to go into our golf course's maintenance equipment, what the condition is right now. Most of the equipment at the golf course has been at the golf course for several years and is close to 8 or 9, 10 years old. There have been individual pieces the last few years, a rough mower, a greens roller, and a couple things that we have replaced. But when the golf maintenance staff said, hey, our team mower's hydraulic tank has cracks in it, and we need to replace this, we went through all the equipment, not just the team mower, and had them evaluate it, and most of it's hanging on. There's some things that can last, but we needed to make a plan so that we could rotate all the equipment out every 10 years so that we don't have these unusual large expenses that we weren't planning for. We need to try to smooth out the expenses so it's not a shock to the city when something breaks down. So we went to the three main vendors in golf equipment, Toro, John Deere, and Jacobson, and we got bids from the vendors. We had the golf maintenance equipment test out the equipment, check it out, see how easy it was to utilize and what could handle our hilly terrain. Right now our equipment is at the point where some of the engines are burning oil. They have a hard time making it up the hills. Some of them don't have four-wheel drives, so they can slide on some of the steeper slopes. Some of the equipment, if a part is missed, it needs to be replaced. It can take up to 3 weeks to get a replacement because it's an older piece of machinery. So the golf maintenance staff came up with a prioritized list of what equipment was needed in the next 10 years, and the number one priority was always having quality greens mowers, since that's the most important part of your golf course, is to have nice looking greens. So the way we propose to accomplish this is, after we've purchased greens mowers, we will convert them to tee mowers every 4 or 5 years, because they have the same body but they just use different blades. So you can put tee mower blades on the greens mowers after 4 or 5 years, replace the older tee mowers with new greens mowers. So the proposed purchases for this upcoming year were 2 greens mowers and 1 pump sprayer, which is for fertilizing the golf course. The way we were going to fund this is through a motor pool fund. How we fund equipment and fleet for our public works, you're able to fund it through the life of the vehicle or through the equipment, rather than having to fund it all at once, which will smooth out the cash flow for the golf course. So, are there any questions about the golf maintenance plan and how it's going to work? I know you already asked some questions earlier in work session, but if you thought of anything else. It would be approximately $6,500 this year, because it's half a year, $13,000 each year till the it's paid back by the golf fund, which will be reimbursed by the general fund.
My only question is, when we go through the budgeting process, which takes several months, and then we have a public hearing and everything, were we unaware at the time that these were things that we were going to need so that we could have budgeted for them appropriately, right, instead of doing an amendment during mid-year?
No, and that's a good point. Normally, I would say, okay, let's put this off till we go through the budget process, because it wasn't brought up to me last year. The reason why we expedited this is because they had already purchased $6,000 or $5,600 worth of blades for these greens mowers, because they've grinded the blades all the way that they can grind them. And so I was like, they can return the blades if they haven't used them. And so I wanted to expedite this so they could return the blades, get the new equipment now instead of waiting till the next budget process. But normally, yes, I would much rather have this come up during our normal budget process.
So in the future, is it safe to assume that when we budget in June, that we will take this new 8 to 10 year plan into effect at that point and budget for it from here on out for the next 8 to 10 years?
That's right. In the plan, it has each year, so there'd be certain vehicles, and we would budget for those pieces of equipment for that year in advance. And
I think that's great. I just want to say kudos to you for noticing a large expenditure and then figuring out that there's a better way to do it in the long run. So great job. I mean, Thanks.
Thank you. So that's the first item. That was kind of a long item. It's being funded by some of the event center rentals improvements. So the next item is the Utah Valley Dispatch. We're funding 50% of the cost that we're expected to contribute by our city. So that's $32,000 approximately. And we'll have to pay another 50% next fiscal year. And that is going to be funded by our fund balance since it's a one-time type of capital item. The next item is our financial software. Our current financial software provider, Cassell, we've had for, I think, 15 years. We've had them a long time. And normally when they do upgrades, they ask for a one-time payment of like $20,000. They've kind of changed their pricing plan to where they just want to increase our monthly cost from $960 to $1,560 for this next upgrade, which they require. So instead of paying $7,000 more each year, and then that could go up in a few years next time they do an upgrade, we looked around at other vendors that were comparable for our size of city. And Polaris, based out of Orem, does 80 other entities. And 80% of their clients come from Cassell, our current provider. And Harriman, Santa Quinn, which are same size or bigger than us, recently switched in the last few years and have really liked Polaris. So we had some demonstrations done by them, got some pricing. Their pricing would be about the same as what we're paying now with a lot more functionality. So we're recommending that we fund a one-time setup fee of $9,000, $4,500 from the general fund and $4,500 from the water and sewer fund, since a lot of our financial system is used for utility billing and that type of work. So in that one, and those one-time setup fees would be paid with our fund balance, which people might not know here, but our fund balance was at its maximum in the general fund at the end of last fiscal year. And so, which is allowed by the state. So we
can
have
a help. Reiterate that again, because that's a real positive for us.
Yeah.
I mean, we gloss over that, but
we have 25% of what our our actual revenues were. So that's the maximum that we can have. And helps our credit, and it helps emergencies like this.
People in the audience, so they understand what he's saying in layman's terms, is that the government or the guidelines allow us to only, like, a city can't hold a whole bunch of money in reserve without allocating it somewhere. Am I saying this right? They maximize this to 25%. So we have, in effect, a rainy day fund or a fund that is maxed out. We can't save any more money. The only thing we do is give it back to the residents or spend it on things or whatever it is. That's where we're at. So that says we're in pretty good financial state for you scouts and guys that are listening. So in spite of maybe what you've heard out there, I'm just saying that our city's in great shape as far as financially is concerned.
Thank you.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. The next item I wanted to go over was the grants that the city received. We received an emergency grant. This is a supplemental grant to the emergency grant we already had for $7,500. This grant allows us to improve some of our equipment, and it allows us, it's just a one-time, one-year grant.
Can you tell us what kind of equipment this includes?
You want to go over that, David? It's a trailer
so
with
So it will be an emergency operations addition to the existing trailer that we have. We purchased a new trailer. We're retrofitting the new trailer to have an emergency operations center in it. So we will be able to, you know, look at plans and things out in the field while we're trying to repair utilities if there were an emergency. In addition to that, we were able to order some new radios that are the same kind of radio as the Lone Peak Public Safety District has. They're a very high-grade radio with a certain frequency that we can actually hear Lone Peak's channel, and they would be able to speak with us as well. But it will have a different channel so that we don't jam up any emergency communications there. And so those were some of the major things. And then also it funds some training as well, some emergency management training.
Okay. And we also received a forestry grant, which allows us to prune some trees that were a little dangerous because they were getting older and causing potential issues, safety issues. The next adjustment is for utilities. We're required by the state now to recognize water and sewer use by the different funds. So our parks, water use, and also our golf fund has an adjustment for water use. We already were tracking the pumping charges by the golf course, which is the significant cost. But this is based on what we charge Lone Peak High School. And that is approximately $8,500 for the general fund and $3,200 for the golf fund. We're also doing budget adjustments for the golf course does trades. So they do punch passes, season passes, so that they can get advertising. We're doing some adjustments for that, for our software that they use, and for some repairs on hole 9, some railing. We have a project that we're finishing in the Capital Projects Fund from last year to make the lots on Cottonwood sellable. And we're doing a $20,000 adjustment to finish that.
So on that one, that was another question. Why wasn't that part of our normal budget discussions? Were we unaware?
It was fully funded in that year, but it got started with like a couple weeks before the fiscal year, so they did as much as they could within the last fiscal year. It was actually a budget adjustment within the last fiscal year, and we're just finishing it up. Water Sewer Fund. I already mentioned the financial software and the utility charges. They have to recognize the increased revenues from the general fund and the golf fund, and then they are transferring that increased revenues right back to the fund, so it's a wash. That's what that adjustment is. The meter and pump maintenance, we've had our pumps for our irrigation have been pushed, and there's been some repairs required. Also our wells, there's some exploratory work being done to make sure they're functioning before our next irrigation, our secondary water season starts. We want to make sure everything's working. Then also we refunded a bond in October, and this adjustment just recognizes the savings that we accomplished from refunding that utility bond back in October. There was a savings of $54,000 in interest, but an increase of $25,000 in principal that we're paying. So it's a net of about $29,000 in savings that we're recognizing for the year. And that's all the adjustments. Is there any questions on those?
No questions? If not,
I will take a motion then.
I move that we adopt Resolution 1-6-2015A, a resolution adopting the amended 2014-2015 fiscal year budget for the City of Cedar Hills.
Got a motion. Is there a second?
I second it.
Motion's been seconded by Mr. Geddes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Let's move on to our next item, which is an action item on the approval of the dispatch building agreement with Utah Valley Special Services District. Mr. Bunker?
Mayor and Council, in December, the City Council did approve the dispatch building agreement with the Utah Valley Special Service District and committed to helping fund that new facility that will be constructed in the amount of approximately $62,279. We referred that back to our city attorney, Mr. Johnson, who reviewed the agreement and suggested that we hold a public hearing, which we did earlier in this meeting tonight, and make a finding of fact that the expenditure of funds, even though we're helping build this facility and we will not have any interest in the building, in the facility itself, if we were to leave the district, but that it provides for the safety, health, prosperity, well-being, peace, order, comfort, or convenience of the inhabitants of the municipality, and funds appropriated for this purpose are considered a corporate purpose. And with that finding of fact, we can go ahead and spend those funds to help construct the new dispatch center.
Thank you. I know that was important. Questions?
No?
Okay. I'll take a motion then.
Okay, I'll read this one paragraph.
Thank you.
I move that we ratify the approved dispatch building agreement with the Utah Valley Dispatch Special Service District for the construction of a new dispatch center based on the finding of fact that, in the judgment of the City Council of the City of Cedar Hills, a determination is made that the expenditure of funds by the City of Cedar Hills for a portion of the construction costs of the new dispatch center provides for the safety, health, prosperity, well-being, peace, order, comfort, or convenience of the inhabitants of the municipality, and funds appropriated according to said dispatch building agreement are considered a corporate purpose with adequate value, including tangible value for said expenditure.
Okay, so I have a motion to ratify the agreement. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Crawley seconded it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Moving on to our next item, number 13, which is an action item on the Questar Gas Company easement issue. Mr. Bunker?
Yes, Mayor and Council. We have been presented with a right-of-way and easement agreement from Questar Gas. We have been working with them with their upgrade of the high-pressure gas main that comes directly through the golf course and through our parking lot here and up to the roundabout just to the southeast of here. Questar has proposed that they would purchase an additional 6 feet in addition to the 16 feet easement that is already there. This extra distance allows them to install another main next to their existing facility, their existing utility. And we sent this over to the attorney for a review, and he had just a couple of minor comments about the grantor being able to adjust the grades within reason, six inches to a foot, and a Questar representative is here tonight, Rick, and I did speak with him briefly about that, and he said that we could work through that language and make sure that that's incorporated. The comments from our attorney, Mr. Johnson, could be incorporated into the agreement. The easement value for the additional easement area is approximately $29,529. And staff recommends that council review that and approve this proposed right-of-way utility easement purchase agreement.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bunker. Any discussion from council on this issue?
So Eric didn't have any other concerns, just that one?
Yeah.
Okay. No? Are you asking a question?
No, I was just going to say it looked pretty reasonable when David explained to me earlier that it really was beneficial to both sides, so it seems like a good thing.
Very good. Okay. I'll take a motion then.
Yeah, I would motion to approve the proposed right-of-way utility easement purchase agreement with Questar Gas Company, subject to any further legal review by the city attorney.
Okay. I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Crowley seconded it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you. Next item is also an action item on changes to the fee schedule. Mr. Bunker.
Mayor and Council, we have had a discussion in the past about residential lots who do not have access to the pressurized irrigation system and are using culinary water, which is metered through their culinary water meter, to provide outdoor watering. And our fee schedule did not have an avenue there for a reduced rate for those homes. So in your package, you should have the fees, bonds, and fines schedule. And if you look at the proposed changes under water, no pressurized irrigation available, the base rate would remain the same at $6.80. The gallon consumption, 1 through 8,000, remains the same at $1.49. And then each successive block after that would also remain at $1.49. Prior to this, those block rates would increase with the additional consumption. But due to the fact that there is no option for these few homes to have access to the pressurized irrigation system, and they are using culinary water for their outdoor watering, it's proposed that we leave them at the lowest tiered rate for all water they consume.
Okay, questions? I know we've talked about this a little bit in the past. I'm glad it's brought up again. Does any council members have any questions, comments?
I was just going to say I appreciate it. I talked to a resident who this impacts, and I think this will be very much appreciated by those who just don't have access to that PI water and are spending a lot of money on watering their lawns. So thank you.
Okay. Not. I will entertain a motion then.
I'll motion to approve Resolution 1-6-2015C. A resolution adding, amending, or deleting certain fees to the official fees, bonds, and fines schedule of the City of Cedar Hills, Utah.
I'll second.
Actually, it's B. We're not
running. Oh, should I say the whole thing again? Yeah.
Do whatever you
want. Yeah, I'll do it again. I motion that we approve the Resolution 1-6-2015B, a resolution adding, amending, or deleting certain fees to the official fees, bonds, and fines schedule of the City of Cedar Hills, Utah.
Okay. I have a motion now. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been seconded by Mr. Augustus. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous again. Thank you very much. Move on to our next item, which is the appointment of Mayor Pro Tem 2015. Mr. Bunker.
Mayor and Council, consistent with the Utah Code, the City Council has the opportunity to appoint a Mayor Pro Tem to fill any of the powers and duties of the Mayor during the Mayor's absence. And the election of the Mayor Pro Tem is up to the City Council. You guys can nominate someone and vote on that. Recently, Councilmember Augustus has served as the Mayor Pro Tem, and just prior to that, Councilmember Reese has served. And the next council member, according to
election schedule,
is Councilmember Zapala. So his term would begin January 6th and continue to January 5th of 2016.
Okay. So any questions on that? I'll take a motion on this then.
I motion to elect Councilmember Zapala as Mayor Pro Tempore, who shall have all the powers and duties of the mayor during his absence, disability, or refusal to act according to the state and city codes.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
I second it.
Motion has been seconded by Mr. Geddes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to item number 17, which is the Parks Maintenance Agreement Extension. Mr. Mogg, are you presenting?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I would like to introduce Chris Wilkinson, if he would stand. Chris is the owner of our of Wilkinson Outdoor Maintenance, in which the city has contracted in the past to maintain our city parks, landscaping around our facilities. That contract expired on December 31st, and as a part of that contract, there's a term that allows for a three-year extension of the existing contract. Staff has worked with Chris for some time. He's been very attentive to the terms of the contract. He's done an excellent job, we feel, of maintaining our facilities, our landscaping. He's worked with staff very well. As the city has added additional areas of landscaping, as we've made changes, put in restrooms, etc. He also maintains our sprinkler systems. He's been very willing to help us when we've run into problems with pests, when our grasshoppers or spurge or whatever we have that comes along. He's helped us a great deal. And we do recommend that council approve the addition or the extension of this contract for the next 3 years.
I've got questions because I've never delved into this agreement in any way. So I'm just curious. So what are the main things? Does he do the mowing of lawns and things like that?
Yes.
Lawn mowing, restroom cleaning, pests, what else?
No restroom cleaning. Oh, restroom. Landscaping only.
Landscaping, okay.
So he does like the shrubberies, et cetera, around the police station, the city buildings, maintains mm-hmm. the parks, does some tree trimming for us, that type of stuff. One of the big pros for us is that he also maintains our sprinkler systems. When things go wrong there, he's helped us. But that's the type of work that he's doing for us.
It looks like there's 15 things listed in the contract that they do.
Okay. And how many acres of ground does he see after?
I don't know.
35 acres? Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes. So I saw that the contract that was supplied in our packet is the old contract. Is
correct.
The new one going to be, it's just an extension of this exact same thing?
We would have wording for an extension of the existing contract. It's noted that there is an annual 2% increase each year.
And then has Eric Johnson reviewed it?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Could you have him do that, please?
What's that?
Let's have him do that.
Yeah. Okay.
So, any other questions?
Yeah. So, is there any advantage or disadvantage for us going to another contract instead of just continuing on the extensions?
In my estimation, there's probably very little advantage. We may be able to get a contractor at a little less price, but I'm doubtful of that. We do have a disadvantage, in my estimation, that we stand a likely chance of not getting the service that we're getting at this time.
Okay.
I'd like to ask Mr. Wilkinson a question, but I'd like to start with saying thank you for helping our city. Our parks always look good, and I think you do an excellent job in terms of making our city assets look really good. So, question is, we had a really wet summer this year. If we and I know we've installed rain meters in certain parks, how are they working, and what's your assessment on that? I know that there was some soccer games I attended in August or September, and there was an awful lot of rain water on the lawn. So I'm just curious how well the rain meters are working and how you monitor them. And so that if we have a massive rainstorms like we sometimes did this summer, how can we better shut off our water so that we don't have too much? So that's kind of a loaded question, but go ahead.
Well, that's great. And first, I'd like to just thank all of you, because I hope you'll tell that to the residents. I get a chance to work in the parks, and I enjoy the people in the parks. I have to say, as I talk to people, because I come from further up north, it's in these parks are the only time I have little kids that'll come up to me and start to talk to me. And I'm looking around going, where's your mom at? And anyway, it's just, they're fun places to work. As far as the irrigation system, Cedar Hills has a unique clay. You guys know that. Mm-hmm. It makes it difficult to keep from either flooding and having runoff, and then having enough water there to, not dry and bake, as you know. So with the rain gauges that we installed this year, we're going to have to see with what our water usage is. So ideal, there's an adjustment on these gauges. And we're just experimenting with them now. And what it is, it's an evaporation adjustment. Because after you get the rainfall, it has a leather soaker that absorbs. And so there has to be enough rainfall in order for that leather to absorb and shut off the sprinkling system. And then there's a drying time. And so I think I've got it set at 1/4 inch at most of the parks. And drying time, we're still experimenting with because it depends on the heat, you know, during that time. So it's still kind of experimental.
So the water, so the rain meters, we're still experimenting, trying to figure out how to operate them best. Is there another system out there that would work better, perhaps? Or is this something that I think you're in our city 2 times a week, is that correct?
Usually, yeah. Yeah, we usually mow on Tuesday.
1 time a week.
Always on our mow day, and then I'll come back down to do sprinkler work depending on, we do a lot of high school help. So it depends on how much high school help I have. And as far as the adjustments on that, most of the time when I'm on the grounds, I will sense it. This year we did have a problem at the soccer field with some broken heads. And vandalism in general in the city has gone up some.
Yes.
I think it's just, I don't know what to put it on, if it's just a growing city, but more than normal, we'll have heads broken. But
so it was vandalism that caused it?
I know in the end of September we had a problem with a soccer field on the north end. And that was due to a couple of heads, and I think I even missed them 1 week, which means that has 2 weeks of basically more water going into the park there. So if I don't get notified on it, then I don't know about them until I actually walk on it and feel it myself. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
But in general, one of the advantages, to comment on our ability to be on the parks, and that is that I'm there. I'm here every week, and so I see most where our parks are at. In a city in the summertime, if we have an area that doesn't get water, it first starts to go to a different color. If we can catch it on that, we can keep from having a month worth of dry. And that's what keeps us looking good. You know, once we lose a park, it's difficult to get it back.
I know you've got to balance those things, watering too much, watering too little. And so this summer, we had an awful lot of water. So I was thinking ways of reducing our water consumption. And so maybe in your discussions with Mr. Mogg and Mr. Bunker, if you guys could talk a little bit about how to coordinate a system so that if we get a very wet summer again, then we can try and conserve our water as well.
A global sprinkling system would be nice. I know that's expensive, though. And that's where all the parks are on either a cellular device, but then you can turn them off or have a master shut down. That would be ideal. It would be great for me, too. But that would be expensive. Are you thinking that that would be something you'd be interested in looking at?
Okay. Well, we'll discuss that.
Okay.
Okay. Comments, questions from council and council members?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks. I know you guys spend a lot of time here, and it's definitely not easy keeping grass green and people happy, but I think you guys do a very good job of it.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to say thanks, and then maybe one question that you kind of touched on with the vandalism, because we've seen other areas in our city that have been vandalized also. And so I was just curious, because we don't talk directly to you, a lot of what comes to you is from staff. So have you seen anything in our city that's either good, bad, things that we can improve upon, things that we could do different, things that you've seen in other areas that maybe work better for our city? Have you seen anything like that that would maybe help our residents and help our level of service for our residents, besides the water and being able to time sprinklers and rain?
you know, not particular that comes to mind. That's something that has stuck out. Usually we try to water at night because that keeps the kids from breaking off the heads. The soccer field happens to be one that is played on a lot, and so those heads are a higher risk. Heritage Park takes a beating, as you know. The Public Works Department knows that. That one regularly gets the bridges and stuff get broken. But I'm not sure that there's anything that you can do that can increase that and keep things, you know, still public.
Right. Yeah, you just never know. I mean, maybe some other city has found some ingenious way that we're not aware of. So I was just curious if you'd...
This city is quite good that I participate with. Enjoy it.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. Any other comments, questions?
I have one question maybe directed for David. What other professional contracts do we have like this that are outstanding besides the park maintenance contract?
We contract out for engineering services. We contract out for auditing.
Building inspector.
Legal. What else? Those are probably the main ones and then this park maintenance as well.
And are those all individual contracts? So they would come up for a similar review like this, whatever their given term is?
Most of them have, yes. Well, I don't know about most. Some of them I do know have dates, end of contract.
Okay. Do we have, like, a list, or do we have any information that we could get to see like what the dates are and when those are available or when they would be reviewed?
Yeah, we can put that together and send that to everybody.
Okay.
Good idea.
Out of curiosity, have we gotten other bids to compare against or not in this case?
We have not at this time. We did a little research, but we haven't actually gone out to bid. I think Chris is very comparable with the landscapers that we've talked about. One of the big pros for us is the contractors that we've discussed this with, they do not do the sprinkler repair, mm-hmm. and they repair it on an as-needed basis and can get quite pricey. And we haven't, as a public works department, staff tight, you know, enough to maintain that during the summer.
And if we bid that out again, it would have to go out for a full bid, which means we'd have to get an RFP and an RFQ out, which means anybody else could also bid on it, and then we're bound to the lowest bidder. Well, I guess not for a professional service, though. Is it?
Well, David probably have to clarify that, but I do think you have the ability
to... some latitude, right?
Yes, on professional services, you can stipulate qualifications.
I can see, since we're used to their service and we know they do a good job, I can see us wanting to stick with them even if there was a close price. But from my business perspective background, I always like to get a few quotes to compare against just in case there's a huge saving somewhere, just to keep the current provider honest a little bit. So I always lean towards reviewing yearly, at least to some extent. Every contract, and that's my preference for probably every service we have. But anyway, that's
a good point, I tend to agree with you on some of it. Right? We're in a situation now where I feel with the way our building's booming, places are increasing services, we may lose on that deal. At this time, I'm looking at a contract where we're kind of tied in already and have an opportunity at 2% annually, and it's pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm. So, sorry, one other question then. With that, if we sent this back out, do we not have a current contract for park maintenance then? So, in essence, if we sent this back out for bid, then we would have to wait until all of the bids came back in, finalized it, and would that change that amount, or would this contract continue if we decided that we wanted to move forward? Or I guess, what's the process if we did something like that?
So what's before you right now is an extension of the existing contract. So built into this existing contract, when we put this out to bid the first time, mm-hmm. is a series of extensions that can be granted. So this is the second extension, the second three-year extension of the original contract. So if you were to not approve the extension, and wish to go out to public bid, then we would prepare an RFP for that and request people to bid that. This contract would then not be one that we would follow. Wilkinson Outdoor Maintenance could give us another bid and propose a bid on the same work, but it would be a different contract. It would be a different process there than it would be if we were to renew this extension.
And is that something that we could do before the spring when maintenance would need to start?
We can, if that's what the council would like us to do.
Well, I'm just wondering time-wise. I mean, is there time available to do that?
It probably takes a month or two to get that up and running and get those bids in and then do an evaluation and get that back to the council. It'd take several months, but the contract, this contract runs from January 1 to December 31 because it's, you know, it's our growing season, so it overlaps our fiscal years. But it can be done.
But the contract right now has a 90-day out. We can give 90-day notice for no cost if we wanted to.
Right.
Well, if that's the case, I would like to make a motion.
That's all right.
I would motion to approve the park maintenance contract extension with Wilkinson Outdoor Maintenance for an approximate amount of $117,300. With the duration of the contract will be a period of 3 years from January 1st, 2015 to December 31st, 2017, with an annual increase of 2%.
And then I would also ask that staff prepare RFQs and RFPs for all professional services and present those back to the council.
Can you modify that with legal review as well?
Yes, legal review too.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that.
Okay, so I have motions been seconded by Mr. Crawley. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Mr. Wilkinson, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next item, Utah Transportation Coalition Agreement. Mr. Bunker.
Yes, Mayor and Council, the Utah League of Cities and Towns has joined forces with the Salt Lake Chamber and have formed the Utah Transportation Coalition on behalf of all of the cities and towns throughout Utah. And they are seeking to build support for a study to look at some major investments into the Utah transportation system. And their goals are to preserve Utah's quality of life, bolster economic improvement, improve personal health and air quality, and provide maximum value to all Utahns. Some of the issues that they're looking at are revision of the gas tax, how that's going to affect communities, Class B and C road funding. So all of those things affect a revenue stream to the city of Cedar Hills and to all the cities and counties as well. And so in your packet, you should have received a copy of the proposed agreement for services. And we've sent that to the attorney to look at. The agreement would require $250 from the city of Cedar Hills to participate. And I think it's a good idea when the Utah League of Cities and Towns proposes to get all the cities and towns in Utah together to study issues. And I think $250 is a nominal fee that we could definitely see some benefit from. So,
thank you, Mr. Bunker. Any questions?
I have some questions and comments. So it sounds like we would be, let me just look at this one more time.
This $250 would go to
retain a consultant.
Yeah. Is this kind of like a kind of lobbyist in a way?
I think this consultant will actually study mm-hmm. issues. I don't know that they're necessarily a transportation company, mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly which consultant it will be.
Mm-hmm. Is it someone, a lobbyist? Have you heard about this, Mayor Geegan?
I definitely have heard about the
this topic. They talk about it a lot. Mm-hmm. But I haven't heard of a specific lobbyist who's been hired. I know they're working through the league, which has their own lobbyists, Ken Bullock and Cameron Deal, and they may be using them, but I don't know of a specific lobbyist.
I'm curious, too, because I know that the county is considering doing a BRT system that could be really pricey for the county, about $150 million. Does this have anything to do with that, the goals of getting that done or anything like that, or no? Is this completely different from that?
I think it doesn't directly tie into BRT, Bus Rapid Transit. Yeah. So what they're looking at is that there are more hybrids and electrical cars on the road, yet they still cause wear and tear on the roads. So they're trying to figure out a way to take care of our roads and be creative about doing that. So there's talk in Washington now about a new gas tax and things like that. So this is a discussion that's not just local, but it's national. And so I don't think it directly ties into BRT.
Okay. I'm just not sure that what the goals of this are, so it makes it hard for me to want to approve spending money on it, because the goals of this particular item may not be goals that I want to further. So I don't know if I wish I knew more about what the goals are of this group and what they want to accomplish with this. It's not a lot of money, but you know, all the cities put together some money, and then it is a good portion of money that can be used in certain ways. Do you feel comfortable, Mayor Gigi, in their goals?
I agree with you completely in that I don't know what the end result is. Yeah. And so that's why at the end of the day, the consultant may come back and say that they recommend something that's completely in opposition to how we think. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they're asking $250 from the cities so they can study this out and then make a recommendation. And when they do make a recommendation, if cities don't like it, they should speak out against it.
Okay. So I just wonder if there's any agenda already in mind with this. I don't know.
If you look at the contract, and this is all I can refer to, is there's a description of services that the consultant would perform. The first task would be to complete transportation research and analysis. And task two is be transportation issue advocacy and a public awareness campaign. Task three, transportation issue providing a local government toolkit. Task four, legislative and governmental relations, which could be along the lines of the lobbyists that you're talking about. So those are the tasks that are included for the consultant to complete, and that's the bulk of the information that we've been given.
I would say I haven't seen an instance where USCT has had an agenda that's in opposition to what cities are looking for. They're generally very good about making sure that they understand very clearly what cities are wanting to accomplish.
Yeah. So we're their clients, so I think that they always try and keep cities' best interests in mind. But Mr. Crowley, you're right. I don't know what the recommendation is going to be on this. And if it's something that's in opposition to how we think, then we should speak out against it.
Okay.
So, is there a motion on this?
Go ahead. You said Eric has reviewed it?
I sent this to Eric, and he has not gotten back to me on this.
Okay. And would we actually approve this exact agreement?
This is the agreement that you're approving that I included in the packet.
So the only thing that we'd want to change is on task number two, it says that the services will be completed by June 30th of 2105, and we want to make sure that that's fixed.
They got some time. They're going to...
So we just want to fix that.
Did you have a question, Mr. Augustus?
No, I was just going to say, when I was reading through this, I had very similar thoughts to what Councilmember Crowley was saying. Is just, it's really vague. I mean, there's not a whole lot of direction. There's not a whole lot of detail to it. And so I was trying to figure out, okay, are they talking about highways, county roads, freeways, UDOT roads? And I was just having a hard time kind of wrapping my mind around, how does this really involve us unless they're talking about either federal or state funds that would be coming back to the city, which then we may see a small piece of that, but I just didn't make sense.
I know part of the discussion has been about how do they get additional money to
local municipalities to help them maintain their roads.
Right.
So I know that's part of the discussion, but where it's going to go, I don't know. Because I think they're clearly aware of situations like American Fork that's got road problems badly. Right. And so they're trying to figure out how to help local municipalities in addition to maybe big project ideas. So it's probably worth, as Mrs. Reese said, Utah League of Cities Towns is generally keenly aware of what their clients, the cities, want and need. So it's probably a good idea to spend $250 to help them study this. And then when they come to a conclusion, then we'll know where we should speak out or not speak out against it.
The league had previously sent out a survey asking municipalities if their Class B and C road funds were sufficient to fund all of their road improvement projects through the years, in other words, long term. And obviously, most cities are not in that boat. In fact, it's far from it. And so most cities are saying, hey, we have to reevaluate possibly the gas tax or the Class B and C road fund allocations, because we are just not getting enough assistance to maintain the existing roads within our cities. And so we're funding that with general fund money. Now, that may be the way it goes forward. Maybe they don't adjust the gas tax or look at the allocations any differently. And cities are on their own to come up with money to maintain their roads. Highland City, I know, they went out for a bond. It got shot down. They are not maintaining their roads at a very good level. A lot of cities are in the same boat. Residents are not happy with the condition of their streets in various cities, but there's no money, there's no funding source to help with that. And so I'm not saying that that's the exact purpose of this, that this consultant will dive into. I know that is one of them that the Utah League of Cities and Towns is saying, hey, cities, give us feedback. How are you doing on maintaining your roads with the funding sources that you have?
I think that's the big point, Mr. Bunker, is that they're trying to find out the best funding source to help local municipalities. So in my opinion, I think that's what this commission is about, is to how to figure out how to help local cities deal with their road problems.
You know, and one thing that I just noticed, I glanced at it again that I didn't pick up on before, was number 8, and it says the city, by notifying the consultant in writing, may upon a 10 calendar date notice terminate any portion or all of the services agreed to be performed under this agreement. So to me it sounds like if this consultant starts doing something and they start putting out information and the city doesn't agree with it, we can notify the consultant by writing and say, you know what, we're done, we're out.
That's right.
We cut ties, good luck, and we're kind of out of it at that point.
But we've already put in our $250, so
why? Yeah, I mean, $250 is a sum.
It's a small, yeah. Are we expected to put more money in if we agree with what he's doing, I wonder?
I haven't
That's
heard anything
what we
about
don't know.
That. And so, if they come back and ask for more money, then you certainly have the right to say no.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion? On our motion, then.
I move that we approve the Utah Transportation Coalition agreement with an associated cost of approximately $250 pending legal review and with that one date fix that I gave you.
I'll second.
I've got a motion that's been seconded by Mr. Augustus. Any further discussion? And then let's have a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Aye.
Nay. Mr. Crawley voted nay. Rest was yay. Motion passes. Thank you very much. Let's move on now to item number 19, the motion to go into exec session to discuss pending or reasonably imminent litigation. This is where the public, we're glad that you're here, will be excused so that we can do this. So if someone would like to make a motion.
I move that we go into executive session pursuant to Utah State Code 52-4-204 and 52-4-205 to discuss pending or reasonably imminent litigation.
Okay. I have motions or a second?
Second.
Motion's been seconded by Mr. Augustus. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. So I'll take a motion now to adjourn our city council meeting. Would someone like to make that motion?
I move that we adjourn our city council meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Yes, we are adjourned.
Daniel, you're in a hurry to get out of here.
So.